Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. How does the Lord fuse into a person a love of racing, worship, country music, and writing? This is the story of Tim Garrison, a humble and worshipful man who, in the spirit of Psalm 96, verses 7 and 8, has taken his God-given gifts and offered them to the Lord for His purpose and glory. We pause to remind you the reason we have the Good Life program is to share how the love of Jesus Christ makes a difference in the lives of people. I'm talking about the love of Jesus so strong that He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His blood on that cross, yes. He was buried, yes. But 3 days later, He rose again from the grave, offering God's hope to you. Will you turn to Jesus? If you have not done so, that's our prayer, that you would turn to the Lord. That's called repentance, from your way to God's way. And if you know the Lord, well, Tim Garrison is going to encourage you. Just wait, my friend. Tim Garrison is a chaplain, songwriter, musician, writer, worship leader, and native of Connecticut. Christian country and worship music are where his style resides. The focus that guides his music and chaplain ministry is the need to live a worship lifestyle. He serves as a race chaplain with Racing with Jesus Ministries and is credentialed through the Chaplains Collective. Tim, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny, very much for having me.
Tim, where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up here in Connecticut, Southern Connecticut, in a town called North Branford. Lived here all my life, and it's in New Haven County. So on the kind of the beautiful shoreline of Connecticut is where I'm from and where I've grown up and a native of.
Who would you say influenced you most, Tim, in your growing up years?
Well, there's a few people. I think from a lot of Christians maybe might say their mom and dad, and that certainly is the case for myself. I come from a strong Christian family, multi-generational Christian family, both on my mother and my father. So I'm very thankful and blessed to be born into that. Raised in, you know, going to church and reading the word around the table at night around dinner was common. So very, very strong, raised in the word, raised in the church. So mom and dad were influences there. And then also a lot of the church leaders. I was fortunate to have two really good Sunday school teachers that made an impact on me growing up in junior high and senior high. One happened to be my cousin. So those were some of the informative years and influences on my life. And then as I started to get into my early adult years, 20s, lots of different pastors and other ministry leaders and mentors and things like that.
So you grew up in a Christian environment, surrounded by believers, lots of good spiritual Christian reinforcement. What was your journey to faith like to the point where you committed your heart to the Lord?
Sure. Yeah. I can remember I was 4 or 5 years old and I'm, you know, being raised in the church and doing what probably a lot of 4 and 5 year olds do in churches at that time. It probably started to sink in. And I can remember asking my mother in the hallway of our house, my childhood home where we grew up, you know, "Mom, I want to accept Jesus in my heart." That was the start of it at 5 years old. And I think all through my young years and child years and teen years, we had the Bible reading. I would attend Sunday school. I can remember praying as a child. But the journey wasn't, I heard on the radio in my early 20s one time, it was a radio show, and I heard this statement that I got the religion, but I missed the relationship somehow. And that was my senior year of college. I was walking across campus. It was a gorgeous sunny day. And I remember stopping in the middle of the big courtyard that was there and looking up and saying, God, there's got to be more than this than just going to church on a Sunday. And that was the start of the worship lifestyle impression on me. That was the start of knowing Jesus on a personal level, on a relational level. And then that kind of took off through my early to mid to late 20s with some self-study, some correspondence study work on worship lifestyle, a little bit of seminary study in there in the late 90s, early 2000s. And then through mentoring with pastors and leaders, and then, you know, combining my love for music and sports, early 2000s, late 90s, somewhere in there was a little bit of dabbling in this sports chaplaincy thing. And then that kind of, you know, life happens and thing happens, and I kind of forgot about it until 4 or 5 years ago when the Racing with Jesus opportunity came along.
Well, we'll talk about Racing with Jesus in a moment. When did you discover your musical gifts?
Yeah, great question. So it runs in the family a little bit. My dad was a trumpet player, and I started picking up the trumpet when I was end of fourth grade, the summer between fourth and fifth grade. My dad started teaching me trumpet, and I played for my junior high years. And then still played in church once in a while and still, you know, goofed around, played around with it, but just kind of dabbled here and there with things until somewhere around my college years, I found this thing called the guitar, and I picked up the guitar and I started teaching myself. And then right around that time, like I said, when I said, God, there's got to be more than this, the fact that I was dabbling with the guitar, dabbling with the piano, that's when my foray into worship music. And 1997 was, I can remember the first song that I actually wrote down and, you know, fleshed out. So started with early impressions as a trumpet player, and then those college and early 20 years as worship lifestyle, worship music as a way that drove me really deeper into writing and then eventually songwriting.
Tim, did you spend most of your life in Connecticut and in a specific area of Connecticut that shaped you?
Yeah, I grew up in North Branford, which is in New Haven County on the shoreline in Connecticut. We spent a lot of time in New England. We had family in Massachusetts and the Northeast. So I really didn't venture out of New England until I was an adult and into my 20s. And, you know, I honestly, you hear about different denominations or different things of Christianity as a child. I did not even understand what the difference was between a Baptist and an evangelical free and a Methodist. And you know, I feel like I was a little bit sheltered by just growing up in one region. So as I started to expand ministry and life and everything, that all impacts, you know, who I am today.
Well, good. We are going to hear more about your music ministry and your motorsports ministry. You can find out more, dear friend, as you're listening to Chaplain Tim Garrison. You can find out more about his ministry at Tim Garrison's Music Ministry and Motorsports Ministry, TGMMGroup.com. That's TGMMGroup.com. When we come back, you'll hear more from him. And don't forget, we are going to talk about the race ministry that he has. You might be saying, okay, well, what is a race ministry? What does it mean to be a race ministry chaplain? He'll explain that to us. We want to talk about a gift, though, a gift to you, a gift that's appropriate, timely, most any time of life when we come back. TGMMGroup.com. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A Electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
It is the goal of Tim Garrison to share the light of Christ with each person God brings him in touch with on a daily basis. Hey, these things began early in his life in his Christian spiritual formation. He does live a life of worship. It's living a worship lifestyle. That's how he describes it, Tim Garrison. You can find out more about him at tgmmgroup.com. If you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment, you can get this program in its entirety. Just go to drdanny.live. It's a podcast available on major podcast platforms. Tim, why has country music meant so much to you?
Well, Danny, that's a good question. Now, a lot of people look at a person growing up in Connecticut, far away from Nashville, far away from the South, and wondering how that happened. Growing up, my dad always had country music on in the house, in the workshop. He had, you know, old records that we listened to. And for whatever reason, that just kind of hit me. That just stuck with me. I've always been a country music fan. Somewhere along the way, in maybe my teenage years, you know, various country stations that were here in Connecticut, they'd have weekend radio shows. And I started to hear, it wasn't Southern gospel music. It wasn't bluegrass music. It didn't have a name back then. Now the genre would be called Christian country music. But it was artists like Charlie Daniels Band and Ricky Skaggs and Paul Overstreet who were releasing country music, but it had Jesus in it. It had Christ in it. It had Christian values in it. So for me, I like to think I'm just wired country for some reason, but the Christian aspect is where I found my home as far as, you know, buying cassette tapes back in the day and CDs. And even now what resonates the most with me is that, you know, kind of straight ahead traditional country music, but with the Christian message, the gospel message in it.
Well, I can't think of anything better than to have centered in any form of music a Christian message, a message of hope, a message of God's gift. Let's listen to Tim Garrison about the greatest gift.
So high upon his father's throne, the son of the most high, he will be called. His kingdom, it has no end, he rules over all. The greatest gift that we could receive. Yeah. for you and me. A long time ago, the angels had good news. Joy for all the people then, and joy for us too. Singing shouts of praise for the gift we've been given. Glory to our God in the highest heaven. The greatest gift that we could receive won't be under that old Christmas tree. Behold, there's good news, great joy to see. Today this boy became a king. If we were there, would we care? Would we bring an offering? At this time of year, glad tidings and good cheer. Let us praise and shout the name of our Savior so dear.
Word that is always appropriate, a message that is timeless. The greatest gift of God is Jesus. Tim Garrison, you wrote that song. How does God speak to you when you write songs?
That's in many ways, Danny. I find that if I say to myself, hey, today I'm going to write a song about you know, the cross and Easter. Sometimes I can do that, but it's harder for me to sit and write a song where nothing else has happened before that thought. So a lot of times it's circumstances. A lot of times it's from reading the word. I'll be in the word and, or scripture will come to mind and I can't explain it. It's just, you know, I'll start getting a melody or I'll start getting a lyric. And usually when those instances or those times happen, you know, I have a notepad on my phone. I carry notepads with me, scraps of paper, and I'm always jotting down ideas. And even if it's not to sit down and write that entire song at once, because it often doesn't come all at once, I at least start. The song you just played, The Greatest Gift, that was an interesting one where the short story is I was talking to a friend from the church where I had grown up in, and he was going to sing at a Christmas concert. And he usually sings a lot every year, sings a song you might know or something like that. And he says, this year, I want you to write me a song. And I'm like, well, are you? No, I'm not writing you a song. And he convinced me. So I came home from his house that night. I sat down and I got my Bible out and I said, this will be easy. I'll just go through all the Christmas stories in the Bible, find all the scriptures, and I'll be able to figure this out. Well, when you grab the Bible and you start looking for a song that's already written for you, there's not really that much there. But I find myself in Luke, I found myself thinking about this term, the greatest gift. And that was a song where it did write itself in about 30 or 40 minutes.
What does living a worship lifestyle mean to you?
Yeah, so that was a term I came across once I had you know, in early 20s or mid 20s. And to me, it's more than just worship music. I think we hear the term worship and Rightly so, we think of worship music, but that term worship lifestyle is, whatever you do and say, whatever I'm thinking, we're all humans. We're all going to fail. We're all going to have our good days and our bad days. But that idea of coming back to the Lord, coming back to the heart of worship, as the song says, and coming before the Lord and talking with Him and praying with Him and reading, being in His Word, kind of always putting myself in that position to, trust God, ask Him for what His next step is, to thank Him for His goodness, to thank Him for, for Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross for my sins, and being able to trust in Him and have that personal relationship. One book that probably solidified this for me was when I was in seminary, and it's Brother Lawrence, Practice of the Presence of God. That when I read that as part of a seminary assignment, it was the idea of constantly having a conversation with God. You know, whether you're peeling potatoes, whether you're walking down the street, always having that sense that, I need to be communing and communicating and listening for God's voice.
Well, that's a classic. I mean, even I was sweeping the floor, right? You can practice the presence of the Lord. Now tell me, Tim, as you have talked about living this lifestyle of worship, and you mentioned in some level of detail how the Lord gave to you or prompted you as you've written songs and through the scriptures, and these gifts come to you. Describe how you feel when you worship.
A whole wide range of emotions. A lot of time it can be thankful, it can be appreciative, realizing that all the blessings and gifts that the Lord has given me or given us. A lot of time it's a conviction for maybe some sin in my life, or a conviction of something that I've done and I need to go to someone and repent for, and there's tears there. A lot of times it's saying, all right, Lord, I've spent some time with you and I think I need to grab the guitar and write a song, or I get ideas for the chaplain ministry and how to interact with folks at the racetrack. So being in that worship lifestyle mindset, it's a wide range of emotions or feelings and actions, which I think is just listening to the Lord and being in tune with His voice. There's the times that I fall away from that, the times that I get away from that, then obviously I don't experience His presence and the goodness that He wants to share and speak with me.
Tim Garrison sharing his process, sharing his lifestyle, sharing his worship lifestyle. Tim Garrison's music ministry and motorsports ministry. You can find out more about his work at tgmmgroup.com. Again, that's tgmmgroup.com. When we come back, we'll hear more from Tim. I'll ask him about his racing chaplaincy, Racing with Jesus Ministries. That's the ministry he's a part of. You know, there's something that goes on Friday nights. It goes on a hometown racetrack. Tim not only knows what that's about, he writes about it and sings about it for you when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A police officer found a girl crying on the sidewalk one day. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I'm lost," she said. "Do you have your parents' phone number?" he asked. "No," she said. "What about your address?" "No," she began to sob. Suddenly, she stopped and her eyes brightened. "What happened?" the officer asked. "I remember," she said. "There's a church near my house. and at the top of the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home. My friend, if you feel like you've lost your way, turn to the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Will you turn to Jesus? Open your heart to Him and find your way home to God.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Tim Garrison is a credentialed chaplain and member of the Chaplains Collective. Tim is currently serving as a chaplain with Racing with Jesus Ministries and pursuing the formation of a community chapel that will offer encouragement in the racing community. You're listening to the Good Life Radio program. Find out more about this show. Get this podcast on major podcast platforms. It's available for you at drdanny.live to find out more about Tim Garrison, Tim Garrison's music ministry and motorsports ministry, tgmmgroup.com. There's a song that Tim wrote, and we have it for you, called Hometown Racetrack Friday Night. Here it is, and we'll be back with more from Tim Garrison.
An ice cold drink, roaring engines and cars on the brink, a flagman waving and green means go, V8 power at a Friday Speedway show. A race with Jesus, he's right by my side. At that track, you know I feel so right. The sun is setting and the lights shine bright at my hometown racetrack Friday night. So I grab the wheel and I hold on tight. Four turns left, but I never turn right. Down the back stretch with two turns to go, I cross that finish line, waving to the front row. A race with Jesus, he's right by my side. At that track, you know I feel so right. The sun is setting and the lights shine bright at my hometown racetrack Friday about next week, and I'm not done. I race with Jesus, he's right by my side. At that track, you know I feel so right. The sun is setting and the light shines bright at my hometown racetrack.
And I That's Tim Garrison, Hometown Racetrack, Friday night. Tim Garrison, when did God call you to serve as a race chaplain?
Well, Danny, as far as the race chaplain, that was the summer of 2018. If I backtrack a little bit to mid-90s or so, I was for a local youth hockey league in Connecticut here. I was helping a friend. I was the goalie coach, the goaltender coach for this group of, I think, 12-year-olds. Through that, I started getting connected with a group called Hockey Ministries International. And I thought about being a hockey chaplain, and we had talked, and there was some traction there, and then it just kind of fell apart. The teams that were potentially needing a chaplain in Connecticut, it just, you know, it didn't really gather any traction. I think earlier I mentioned about how I kind of just lost sight of that. Well, now fast forward to 2018, and at my church, one of my friends says, "Hey, Tim, you know, you like NASCAR, you like racing." There was another gentleman, Ray. He says, do you know Ray? I'm like, "No, I don't know him." So he says, "I'll have to introduce you." So the next week or a week or two afterwards, I'm sitting next to my friend at church, and this gentleman, Ray, is sitting there, and they're talking about racing. I'm like, "Oh, this is the guy. Let me, you know, say hi," or whatever. I had no idea that he was with Racing with Jesus, that he himself was a chaplain. And to make this story short, after I had spoke with the gentleman, Ray, that Sunday, the next week, I just felt and knew I had to go back and talk to Ray. So the following Sunday, I said, "You know, I've heard of Racing with Jesus. I know you guys are at the racetrack. I don't really know what you do otherwise, but if you just need someone to help out, I'm happy to serve." And that was the open door. And that's, you know, within the next few weeks or a month, I met with the leadership of Racing with Jesus. I was interviewed. And then that was about August, beginning of August 2018. And I shadowed chaplains for the rest of the 2018 season, most of the 2019 season. And then I've been serving most weeks alone at Stafford Speedway in Connecticut. And then the last year and a half, I've had another chaplain, a gentleman named Scott, who the two of us are now serving at Stafford Speedway every Friday night.
Stafford Speedway in Connecticut. It's amazing what God can do when we are willing to serve. We're not being picky about things, just available. I mean, it's amazing what God can do. What do you do, Jim, Tim, at the track?
So a little bit of everything. If anybody listening is at all familiar with watching racing on TV, you probably have seen the invocation or the prayer before the race. Not all tracks will have that. Not all will do that, and some do. So the weeks that's wanted, we as race chaplains can pray before the race, and you know, we pray for safety and protection for the drivers and the crews and the officials and the staff. But that's the part that everyone kind of sees. That's what they know about from TV. My role, I really think of my role as relational. So what I do is on a given Friday night, I usually arrive at the track around 3 or 4 p.m. and I probably leave around 11 to midnight based on how long all the races go. And I wander around. I wander around the pit area. I talk to all the teams and the drivers. I talk to staff. I talk to security guards. And I'm there to serve the racing community. And some people like to just talk. You know, they might be going through a hardship in life. They might be going through a divorce or a lost child or a sick parent. And we're there to just listen and talk and pray with people. Other people want to have more deeper spiritual conversations. So we do that. And then other people, they just, you know, they're happy that we're there, but we don't force anything on anyone. And we do have a more practical purpose too. If there are injuries at the track, if there's people that need to be from a racetrack accident or incident, they need to be transported to the hospital, we as chaplains can watch out for the family and say, "Hey, do you have a ride to the hospital?" We look out for those that you know, maybe are following the ambulance or need to get to the hospital. We do grief counseling. We do other kinds of counseling for maybe people that need someone to talk to. So it, for me, it's really relational. We talk about Jesus, we pray, but we're also there as friends and people that just need someone to talk with. We fill a lot of different roles like that at the racetrack.
It's such a needed, but oftentimes not available. A ministry like you have, others may not even think that there can be impact on a racetrack like that. Tim Garrison ministering at the track, in the pits, paddock, and the infield, with many in the race community, encouraging, inspiring. What is a green-white checker?
The green-white checker. So near the end of the race, as cars are going around the track, if there's an accident or a caution, something that causes the race to stop, a lot of race series and racetracks, they don't want to end that race with just the yellow flag, the caution flag going, and the cars come across the line going really slow, all in order. They want to give the fans a good racing experience. So what they do is they clean up whatever incident had happened on the track. They get all the cars back in line, and they'll run two extra laps. And it's basically the green flag gets everyone started, that they go around the track. The next time they come around, they'll throw the white flag, which signifies one lap to go. They do that final lap, and then they wave the checkered flag, and you get your winner.
Is there another name for that with NASCAR?
I think it's green-white checker. I think it's pretty standard.
Standard overtime. How does going the extra mile relate racing with life?
I think they go hand in hand, you know, on those green white checker races, especially at Stafford Speedway. For me, it hits home because it's a half mile track. So if you're running two extra laps, you're running an extra mile in your race that night in the car. In life, we're probably all familiar with that saying, oh, you know, would you go the extra mile for someone, or someone maybe went the extra mile for you? So from a racing standpoint, there's a lot of, you know, it goes hand in hand. You know, we can picture it in the race community, and then we can take that and apply it to our lives, saying, hey, your crew had to work harder, your car had to last an extra mile. We can, you know, the driver had to drive an extra mile. We can translate into how we're serving others, how we're helping others. You know, that person that needs a ride somewhere, or, you know, needs a little extra to make rent this month. Will we go the extra mile for someone?
We always need to remember others have gone the extra mile for us, and we have an opportunity from time to time to go the extra mile. And the thing is, we don't always know when that call will come, but you certainly do that, Tim, in your ministry ready. I mean, going 4 or 5 in the afternoon and staying till midnight, giving yourself in the name of Christ there on the racetrack. You can find out more about Tim Garrison at tgmmgroup.com. When we come back in our final segment, we'll settle in here a little bit. We talk about the extra mile. What about challenges in life? I wonder what Tim has gone through to bring him to the place where his heart has been sensitive and tender to care for and love others, where the Lord has stamped his approval on this man of God to do the kind of work that he's doing through challenging times. Stay with us. We'll be back for more with Chaplain Tim Garrison.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel, so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Chaplain Tim Garrison is currently based in Connecticut and serves the auto racing community locally on weekends at Stafford Motor Speedway and other venues across Connecticut and the East Coast. You're listening to the Good Life Radio program. Find out more about Tim Garrison at tgmmgroup.com. His motor ministry and music ministry available there, tgmmgroup.com. Tim, how has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
Well, Danny, I think the easiest way I can say that is by being close to me. I especially now I'm in my 50s, you know, I've lived life, and there's nothing for me when I need the Lord, when I need to hear from him, for me it's going to the Word, it's going to the Bible, reading scripture. That, you know, I in hard times, tough times, I usually find myself in Psalms. And one verse that comes to mind, that I often recite and just, you know, we always talk about memory verses as a child, you learn memory verses in Sunday school. Well, that kind of stuck with me. And, one is Psalm 20 verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord, our God. And, I think of that, and, you know, no matter what's going on with hardships in life, you know, vocation, family, you know, do we trust in the horses and the chariots of our world nowadays? Do we trust in our finances, our own abilities, or do I trust in the Lord, my God, the God of the universe, who can direct and lead and provide for all of my needs?
What do you believe the Lord would have you say to someone who is struggling today?
I would say, I'll quote another verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. It hints and it gets back to that worship lifestyle, and talk to the Lord, pray. You know, if you know the Lord, if you have a walk with the Lord, go to some of your favorite verses and pray them back to the Lord. I will often do that. I'll often find a verse and read it and then pray it back to the Lord, as my prayer to him. If you're not familiar with scripture, if that doesn't come natural to you, or if you don't know the Lord, I would say go to Psalms, go to Psalm 1 and just start reading and praying it back to the Lord and ask the Lord, be honest, the Lord, I firmly believe, you know, he wants to just have conversations with us and say, Lord, I'm struggling here. What do I do? One thing that's been big for me since my early seminary years is the idea of spiritual disciplines. So it's okay to sit in quiet, you know, the discipline of silence and solitude to say, Lord, I need help. I need you. Please show yourself to me, and grab the Bible and maybe start in Psalms or start in the book of John in the New Testament, and read that, pray that back to him, and just say, Lord, I'm new to this, or I don't really know what to say to you, but I want you to be real in my life, in this trial, in this situation, or as my savior, and let him guide you. Let him take you by the hand and lead you on that journey.
This is a perfect time to pray, I think, to pray for our listener. Taking what you've said in words of encouragement, Tim, would you pray for someone who's having a tough time?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Father God, we take this time and we pause and we pray and we ask you for those of us that are struggling. If there's someone listening now that senses that heaviness and they need you and they know they want to come to you, Lord, we just lift them up to you. We ask that you make yourself known and real to them, speak to their heart. Lord, I pray that, to use the racing terminology, Lord, down every straightaway, whether the front stretch or the back stretch of life, in every turn, twist and turn that we may encounter in life, Lord, you know what the need is and who that person is, Lord. Help them find your word and the scripture and the verse that is your word, Lord. It's God breathed, that it would speak to their hearts and let them know that you are near, you desire a relationship with them, and help them to find, help us all to find our calling, how you're leading us, and where you want us in our walk with you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tim, thank you so much for sharing in this time with us today. What a fabulous and fascinating work you're doing there on the racetracks in Connecticut and on the East Coast.
Well, thank you, Danny. It's an honor to be here. And thank you for everything you do with your ministry as well. I appreciate it.
Encouragement from Tim Garrison, tgmmgroup.com. My friend, God's timing is perfect. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. If you haven't done so, look, I believe this may be that perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Go to drdanny.live for more resources, to join our prayer team, or partner with us financially. Again, drdanny.live, and I thank you in advance. Psalm 96, verse 8, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Tim Garrison, tgmmgroup.com. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, Sheena Kusumoto, social media director, Luke Yamashiro, and guest coordinator, Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with The Good Life.
Hey, Tim.